You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined today by Spike Friedman. I'm always joined by Spike on the podcast, and it seemed like about 800 members of the Seahawks team joined each other on the injury report today. Spike, I'm not feeling too good about that. I'm guessing you aren't either.
No, I'm feeling great about it, Grant. I love when our entire offensive line is on the injury report the day after I talked about how they finally are good. That's what I love, Grant.
You know, Spike, I'm not really feeling your energy right now. I think that you need to redirect it. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve what you're giving to me right now. So maybe we should run this back. Hi, welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm Grant Goldberg, joined today by Spike Friedman. Spike, how you doing?
Woo-hoo-hoo! Doing great, Grant. Loving life, living love.
There we go. And it's gonna be a great show. We're feeling good. Everyone's healthy. Wait, no, not everyone's not healthy. There's about,
fine though. It's fine because when you think about it, we're all mortal, you know, and so we're all fallible. We're all injurable. And so we all should be on the injury report every day for just being alive.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm often on the injury report for hurt feelings. And we saw that earlier on this show today. Yeah, we had about, I want to say maybe 10 people that didn't practice today. And that's not a good number. I'm going to count it out on the show.
Off?
It's 1, 2, 3, 4,
well,
5,
why
6,
why don't you see their names
eight,
for the nice
nine,
people
ten.
At home?
All right. It's Odey Egbuchi with a shoulder.
Okay,
Dwayne
I'm fine
Brown
with
an ankle.
Like, not fine with that.
Jimmy Graham with an ankle.
Ugh, not fine with that. But he's been on the injury report for a while. He'll be fine.
Ethan Posick with an ankle.
Not fine with that. Do not like a new ankle addition to the starting offensive line at all.
Luke Jokel with a knee.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. They're just giving him his rest.
Nas Jones with an ankle.
Not fine with that because all the indications are he's going to miss another game this week.
Marcus Smith with an ankle.
I don't know how to feel about that. Do we think he's really hurt, or do we think I don't know. Whatever.
He was celebrating too hard after he's beaten his Eagles in his revenge game. We have Bobby Wagner with a hamstring.
I feel like that's been around for a little bit, and he's played through it and been amazing, so I'm fine with that.
And then, as far as the DMPs go, Michael Bennett is the last one with a knee.
Knee?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bennett's always got something. It looked like he hurt his wrist last game, but then he played through it and was fine. So,
yeah, it's another installment of Michael Bennett hurts himself in a game, finishes the game, and then doesn't practice the first day of the next week. Then we have limited participants, which include DJ Alexander with his shoulder injury, and then Deion Jordan with his neck injury. And so those
fine
guys
with the shoulder. Yeah. I'm a little worried about that neck. Pete made like some weird sounds about the neck. We've already lost two guys for the year with necks. The Ryan Shazier neck situation is making me nervous. I don't want to hear any neck stuff from anybody.
Yeah, no. Generally, you want to avoid neck injuries. And obviously, in football, you're going to have a lot of guys getting on the injury report because it's a very, very brutal game. And it probably shouldn't be played. But we're going to look past that. We're going to look past it. And a guy that we talked about on the last show was Telvin Smith, who was, last we checked, still on the concussion protocol, but he was a full participant in the Jaguars practice on Wednesday, which is not very good news for the Seahawks because he's their best linebacker. He is the engine of their defense, and it's gonna make the Jaguars game that much tougher.
Yeah, and what he does in the center of their defense is sort of allow Miles Jack to eat, sort of in the same way that Bobby Wagner allows KJ Wright to sniff out screens and used to allow Bro Servin to rush the passer, which is a bummer because I don't know if you, Grant, you're younger than me. I don't know if you remember all the way back a couple of years ago when Bobby Wagner missed six games and KJ Wright slid over to middle linebacker for a little stretch of time. That was like fine. but we didn't have some of those big monster stops in the backfield. And when you look at what the Jaguars can do with their full complement of linebackers, they can just do a lot of things. And their defensive line is so deep and so effective, and their corners are so good that, like, they're just a strong unit. And Smith is the nucleus of that unit, and he really does free up everybody else to do so much. So obviously I'm happy that he doesn't have a more severe concussion. No one wants NFL players to be in that sort of situation. I just had something pop through my Twitter feed about Nick Vanette. He apparently was college roommates with Ryan Shazier, or teammates rather, at Ohio State. And said it makes you wonder why we do what we do. I mean, like, it's already a scary enough game without rooting for the opponents to have head injuries. That said, the fact that the Jaguars are going to be relatively healthy coming into this game bodes ill for a Seahawks team whose injury report is as full of guys as we've clearly shown it to be.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game, especially with all the injuries that have already happened. And then if you end up missing a guy, I think we're going to have most of those guys play. But, you know, any one of those guys that I named, besides maybe Obuchi, is going to be a key part in the Seahawks making a run towards, you know, a higher seed in the playoffs, and especially just winning this game. You know, in order to run the table, they'll have to win this game. But other than that, the Seahawks have just, they looked so good against Philadelphia, and to miss any of those players that were so key, especially, you know, if they missed a Bobby Wagner, his impact has been by far the most noticeable thing on the defense all year, and that's why he should be, well, not why, but a part of the reason why he should be Defensive Player of the Year. And so if we were to miss a Bobby Wagner, especially against a Jacksonville Jaguars team who loves to run the ball and is number one rush yards in the league, you know, well, it would be a noticeable difference if he wasn't out there on the field.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and the thing about the Jacksonville Jaguars, as much as they like to run the ball, you know, their run defense made a complete 180 in the middle of the season when they made a trade for Marcell Dareus, and their rush yards per game went down by 53 yards. The rush yards allowed,
crazy.
I should say. It's been a complete transformation, and it, you know, if there's one facet of the game that defense didn't excel at, it was the run defense. But they made that trade, and now they're a super strong unit on all three levels of the defense. And that, you know, is scary for any opponent, but especially, you know, when you have to fly across country and go play them in their house.
Yeah, and the Seahawks run game is, as we know, relatively garbage. So we'll see what we can do against them in that phase of the game. It's a very similar addition to what ended up happening with Sheldon Richardson with the Seahawks, where he steps in and is just making a huge impact, even if, like, the sack numbers aren't there. The tackle for losses are there, and just the impact on the interior of opposing offensive lines is there. That said, the Jaguars haven't played a lot of high-powered offenses. And I don't think they've played very many very good mobile quarterbacks like Russell Wilson. Now, mind you, there aren't that many, but they haven't, like, gone up against a Carson Wentz, for example, and done a great job against him. So it does give me a little bit of hope that we will be able to move the pocket and do some fun stuff on the outside while Marcell Dareus is wrecking the interior of our offensive line. But I don't think we're going to be able to pound the ball up the middle against the Jaguars, given that we can't do it against the 49ers.
Right, and I think another thing to give the Seahawks hope is that the Jacksonville Jaguars, albeit it was away, lost to Blaine Gabbert's Cardinals. And so that's something the Seahawks haven't done this year, and hopefully will not do, but that'll remain to be seen until the end of the season, and we'll get right back to the rest of the show after this. We are back, and as we were saying before the break, the Jaguars haven't really faced a whole lot of great quarterbacks, and, you know, they lost to Blaine Gabbert, as I said, but they haven't faced a Russell Wilson. They beat down on the Steelers, they beat down on the Ravens, but, you know, those, you know, Ben Roethlisberger wasn't playing that well in the early part of the season. Joe Flacco, you know, he's never been elite. And I think that...
Well, we don't have to get into that, but he is terrible now.
Yeah, no.
Joe Flacco used to be borderline good, and now he is absolutely terrible.
Exactly. And it's a Jaguars team that's obviously impressive, but you know they only beat the Browns by 12 points, excuse me. And you know it gives you a little bit of hope, especially with the Seahawks offense that's kind of hitting its stride. I know the running game still isn't there, but it showed signs of life last Sunday against the Eagles. And you know the Eagles defense is, you know, a great unit by all measures. And
yeah.
You know, when you have a healthy Mike Davis and J.D. McKissick offering some versatility out of the backfield in terms of receiving the ball, you know, it gives you a little better of a shot than, you know, putting Eddie Lacy out there and running for, you know, anywhere from negative 2 yards to, you know, three yards gained. And I
just want to speak to a difference between the Jaguars and the Eagles defenses, which is the Eagles' biggest weakness on defense is their cornerbacks, whereas the biggest weakness in the Jags defense, you could argue it's the safety position, you could argue it's the coverage abilities of their linebackers. And so the difference being that where they're a little vulnerable, the Eagles are vulnerable on the edge of the field, and we saw Russell Wilson exploit that a few times, especially on a cover zero blitz, where Doug Baldwin just beat a dude off the line and got wide open, but also a couple other times we were able to exploit their cornerbacks. With the Jaguars, if we're going to get those sort of big plays from anywhere, it's going to be interesting to see where they come from. Most likely they're going to come from Jimmy Graham lined up inside Nick Vannett, Doug Baldwin out of the slot, and I'll be interested to see if Jalen Ramsey starts to travel with Doug Baldwin. There was a little bit of light smack talking. Jalen Ramsey said Doug Baldwin is not Larry Fitzgerald good, which, while historically accurate, doesn't really speak to their relative quality right now. Doug Baldwin sort of is Larry Fitzgerald good right now, even if he hasn't had the cumulative career that Larry Fitzgerald has had, nor quite the high peaks. And so it'll be interesting to see, A, how angry Doug Baldwin is, and B, what sort of coverages the Jaguars use on Doug Baldwin. Do they just throw Jalen Ramsey on him regardless of how much he plays out of the slot? Does A.J. Bouye travel with Paul Richardson? Like, what's going to happen is, I think it's going to be really interesting to see. This Jaguars defense is really deep, really good, but given what the Seahawks can do with, and I'll throw J.D. McKissick in there as well, sort of guys who are not lined up on the red line in terms of generating their offense, I wonder if the Seahawks are going to be able to find some soft spots, are going to be able to get some mid-range explosive passes, some 15, 20-yard passes into those soft spots, sort of like that rollout that Russell Wilson had to Vannett against the Eagles, and be able to move the ball down the field.
Yeah, I think, you know, something that they'll not have to rely on heavily, but something that can be definitely a useful tool in the game is J.D. McKissick's versatility in beating these linebackers. We saw him absolutely obliterate Michael Kendricks on a go route, and you know he scored easily. And you know if their linebackers aren't that great in coverage, I think that's a win for the Seahawks in that department. Because if you get a guy like McKissick who's had time practicing as a wide receiver, I know he's mainly used as a running back, but you split him out wide and use him out of the backfield, he's a versatile guy that's oftentimes going to be covered by one of those linebackers. And I'm sorry, but I don't think there's many, if any, NFL linebackers currently today that are faster than J.D. McKissick. And so his speed gives you an opportunity to have an explosive play at any given time against that unit.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Miles Jack, if he ends up spying Russell Wilson, if he ends up being that sort of flex linebacker who both rushes the passer but then has some coverage responsibilities, because Jack at his peak is that fast, but the rest of their core isn't. So it's going to be about Wilson's going to have to be so good in this game, because the Jaguars don't have a lot of weaknesses. He's going to have to be identifying, you know, have his identifications perfect pre-snap, and then identify as plays develop perfectly, because I think this game is going to hinge on turnover margin. The Jaguars have been way up on turnover margin in spite of the fact that their quarterback is Blake Bortles, and I think we might as well use this opportunity to both take a break and then come back and talk about the fun side of the ball, which is the Seahawks defense against Blake Bortles.
We are back, and we're going to talk about the defense for a little bit. And I think that, you know, obviously a big matchup this Sunday is going to be Leonard Fournette in the Jaguars running game versus the Seahawks. And, you know, Bobby Wagner, like I said before, said that this is really their strength. And they're going up against a unit led by Fournette that, you know, hasn't had its best games as of late, because Leonard Fournette has been dealing with an ankle injury, and in three of the past four games, he hasn't had a game where he averaged over 3 yards per carry. And so that's going to be something that they struggle with, I feel, this weekend, because, you know, as good as Leonard Fournette is already, you know, that just speaks to how good the Seahawks are defending the run this year. Spike, you know, what do you think the Seahawks can do to neutralize a Jaguars rushing attack that's the best in the NFL?
I'm going to go with keep on keeping on. Part of why the Jaguars rushing attack is the best in the NFL is volume. Like, they lean on their running attack so hard. I haven't watched enough of this to know that what I'm saying. Well, I'm not going to go down this road. I'll say this. Power running into the Seahawks defensive line right now is a real, real dicey proposition. And as effective as the Jaguars running backs have been, and in particular Fournette, but actually all of them have been pretty effective this year, I'm not that worried about it. They are 13th in rushing by DVOA, while amassing that volume, which is to say they're pretty good on a per-snap basis, but they aren't that terrifying running unit that is going to just devour. Like, they are not the New Orleans Saints, where I'm like, oh boy, how do you defend this? I'm like, oh, I know how we defend this. We throw Sheldon Richardson and Bobby Wagner and Jaron Reed at the problem. Michael Bennett, problem solved. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. As good as Leonard Fournette is, he's not shifty. He's not multiple. He's not Alvin Kamara. He's not ruining lives. He's a more imposing back than like an Alvin Kamara, but he's not a more problematic back for a defense as fundamentally sound as the Seahawks.
Yeah, and when you look at the Jaguars running attack, it's a little bit one-dimensional, because behind Fournette you have Chris Ivory, and behind Chris Ivory you have TJ Yeldon. And, you know, they're all sort of that, you know, like you said, physically imposing, run through you, then by you, or, you know, shake you in the open field. And like I said, you know, they aren't that type of, you know, scary run team that we've seen beforehand in the year, because, you know, even against the Browns, where that was Fournette's one game higher than 4 yards per carry, is actually just 4 yards per carry. And that was the last game he had 100 yards in. And then, you know, if you're going to look past that, it was a couple weeks before it. So it's really a Jaguars unit that's not sputtering, but it's definitely not, you know, at their peak. They're not hitting their stride. And
yeah, and I'll say the Seahawks defense is ranked higher for the whole season in rushing defense than the Jaguars are in terms of rushing attack. And then you add on the fact that the Seahawks rush defense seems to be peaking right now, while the Jaguars are stumbling a little bit. I'm just not that worried. And like, maybe I should be, but I'm like, I don't know why. And talk me off the ledge, Grant, but I'm more worried that like Blake Bortles is going to go on a weird heater. And like, just like, have you ever played poker against guys who don't know how to play poker? And so they like do things that like you can't even deal with. I feel like that's Blake Bortles against the Seahawks defense. Like, he's going to miss throw balls by so much, they're going to get caught by like the wrong receiver.
I definitely feel like that's going to happen.
Yeah. Like, I feel like there's going to be some weird Bortles-y nonsense. Well,
I think that there's definitely going to be some clunky first down runs from Blake Bortles. Like, he's definitely going to have way too much time, and he's going to be able to run, and it's going to take him like maybe 10 seconds to run 5 yards for a first down, and we're going to be appalled at what we just saw. And I think you put it perfectly. Like something like anytime Blake Bortles steps on the field, like something like a complete pass to the wrong receiver, it has potential to happen. And so, yeah, against the Seahawks defense that's so sound, and even without Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, you know, you still have an apt replacement in Byron Maxwell. You have a healthy Shaq Griffin. You have a, a really good replacement in Bradley McDougald for Cam Chancellor to where I'm not really too worried. I don't think the Seahawks are going to get too flashy. I think they know what they have to do coming into this game, and they're not going to, you know, do anything to kind of jeopardize their chances at winning, because, you know, they are the stronger team overall. And I think that, you know, if they just stick to the game plan and play like they always do, keep everything in front of you and don't overcommit, then, you know, they'll get out relatively unscathed.
Yeah, and I think the big question, like, coming into this game is, can the Seahawks keep up their level of execution from last week in Philadelphia? Can they carry that over? Because that was a different Seahawks team that we saw, not in terms of the upside, but in terms of bringing up that downside, not making mistakes. On the road, flying across the country, mistakes get made more often.
Right.
And it's, you know, we're playing on grass. It isn't going to be wet, so there's no reason to think Russell Wilson won't be 100% effective. But in terms of the penalties, in terms of the drops, in terms of the accuracy from the first snap from Russell Wilson, the offense is going to have to be absolutely crisp. And then on the other side of the ball, we need to tackle, we need to get off the field, we need to execute on third down. Because, man, let me put it to you this way. I have Allen Hurns on my fantasy team, and the matchup little blurb on Allen Hurns this week is the Jags don't need to rush him back because they're getting good play from receivers Dede Westbrook and Keelan Cole heading into their matchup against the Seahawks.
It definitely has Dede a Westbrook little bit. It has a little bit Keelan, of the New York Giants game in terms of the receivers. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, those are not good receivers. Those are receiver, like, Byron Maxwell and Jeremy Lane and Shaq Griffin and Deshaun, like, whoever ends up lining up, we're unsure. Justin Coleman, though, we have the advantage in those matchups. The absence of Richard Sherman is not going to rear its head this week. This week is a week for us to get some picks, to turn them over, to not drop those picks. We got to execute. Grant, if we execute, we win, and I think we will, and I think we're going to win.
I think that last week we saw when the Seahawks can just execute, we see how high their floor is. That was a really high floor game for the Seahawks. They didn't, you know, they weren't a prolific offense by any stretch last week. But, you know, if we continue to see, you know, how high their floor is in terms, instead of, you know, them reaching their ceiling, you know, I think that it'll be a relatively good game for the Seahawks. And you know, yeah. I think that the Seahawks offense and Russell Wilson and their receiving core presents a lot more problems than the Jaguars offense does to the Seahawks defense, even without Richard Sherman. Even without Cam Chancellor, because we saw how well they played, albeit in Seattle, against the top-seeded Eagles. And so, you know, I think that, you know, looking back to last Sunday's game provides a lot of relief and, you know, makes me relax a little bit more. But, you know, looking over the Jaguars roster, they're not as solid top to bottom as the Eagles were. And I think that, you know, Seattle should win comfortably.
Yeah, I'll say this, which is that the Seahawks offensive line needs to put in a clean performance. They need to not get beat badly in ways that lead to strip sacks, and they not need to avoid holding penalties. And even if Ethan Posick doesn't play and it ends up being Mark Lewinsky, it is not like that drop-off is the drop-off from, like, Jokel to Ibushi, much less the drop-off from, like, Dwayne Brown to Reese Odhiambo. You know what I mean? Like, the Posick to Glowinski drop-off is one that, like, is annoying because we finally saw our five guys play well together. But it's like, I can stomach that drop-off even against a D-line as ferocious and deep as the Jaguars.
I'll put it this way. It's kind of like, you know, we touched on this subject last week, but it's kind of like when you're watching a comic book movie and it's a team-centric movie. And you see the team split up at points and deal with a villain or the antagonist. Like, they have a tough time and they get beat. But then when you see them come together and they gel as a team and they start to, you know, for lack of better terms, kick ass, you know, that's good to see. But I think, you know, when we're missing a Posick or we're missing a Jokel or even, Dwayne Brown, you know, we see the defense or the villain in this case start to make up ground and start to win these battles. So we're going to need the full team. We're going to need the Avengers to assemble and combat this big evil in the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive line.
Yeah, I agree. All right, should we pick a score?
All right, so now today on Twitter I jokingly said the Jaguars will lose 6-9, but
yeah.
I'll change that prediction just for the cause of professionalism, and yeah. I will say that the Seahawks can win 24-13. 24-13, I think the Seahawks
win. Yeah, you know what my pick was, Grant?
What was your pick?
23-13. So I think you just did I prices right you, or did you prices right me?
It's the closest without going over.
So you prices rated me nightmare. That's too bad for me. But I like that we're in line. I like that we're both a little optimistic. I like that we're both feeling the run the table. I like that, you know, draft.com, I've got my picks in. You should play too. I like when people leave 5-star reviews on the iTunes. I love that. That's a great thing. I like a lot of things, Grant.
I know. And I like it. I like this matchup too more than I did before. And before all these trades started happening, before Dwayne Brown.
Like we have to just I feel like every time we do one of these podcasts, we should just be like, oh yeah, thank you, base John Schneider, for getting us Dwayne Brown
John and making Schneider, our team the good. God.
Yeah,
but I think that I think
Little Schneider.
The Seahawks should see enough in the film to be confident going into this week. I mean, because we don't have Blaine Gabbert as the quarterback of our team, and so when you have that big of an upgrade over a team that just beat the Jaguars a couple weeks ago, you know, you got to feel a little more confident. So, you know, for being confident and for a 10-point or 11-point win against the Jaguars, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, and there is some Ohtani news that is pro-Mariners but not confirmed yet, so I'm losing my mind, and I am also signing off.